Hi, this is Jeff Seymour, and welcome to the podcast. Today I'm going to talk about the rituals that some actors do before they act and why it's so important not to do rituals before you act. I'll explain. I was working with an actor the other night in class, and she's made quick improvement in a short amount of time because I think it was her second class when I said something quite simple to her, as I like to do with actors when they're acting, in order to keep them out of their head and just kind of click. I said, you know, I just don't think you're the one who's talking right now. This has to be you here. I have to feel like this is happening in front of me. So stop worrying about the acting stuff. It was something like that. And then suddenly it was night and day. And then from that moment on, she's been this dynamo of energy and focus. And she really acts like almost like an actor, like with a new toy. I know that she's, you know, really accessing her skills. And I just suddenly found her work so open and free and authentic that I had to ask the question the other night. And that was, you know, look, when you came in here, you know, you were struggling a bit. And then within a few moments, now suddenly you're not. And I have to wonder, what happened in your last class that would have suppressed this, that would have not allowed this, or that somehow you didn't have access to this that you so easily have access to now? What was going on? And then she told me about, well, you know, you just don't have to go through all that silly stuff and, you know, all the work and, you know, in the beginning before you get up and this kind of thing. And I said, okay, well, wait, what do you mean all the work and everything before you get up to work? Because I'm always fascinated. She said, well, the one thing she hated doing was going into the closet. Yeah. I said, well, what do you mean going into the closet? She goes, well, the teacher would want us to go into this like dark closet and daydream to get yourself into that proper emotional state of your character. And I say, okay, but what is, when you say the closet, what does that represent? What do you mean? What is the closet? And she said, a closet. It's a closet and there's a door and you go in and it's dark. And then you both stand there in the dark and you daydream. And then when you're ready, or you know, you want to acknowledge that you're ready, you find your partner in the dark and tap them, and then I guess you're good to go. So they have a closet, and you just go into it, and then you get into your magic space, and then I guess you come out transformed. Wow. Okay, and then you tap your partner, and then you know to go out. That's excellent. you know... Don't most of you listening to that think that sounds insane? You walk into a dark closet and then you daydream and get into the proper headspace? This woman that told me the story that was subjected to this and did it is a bright young lady. So the question is, how do we get hoodwinked into this? Well, this is the problem with most classes. You know, they just start doing this stuff. And everyone's a little intimidated by art anyway. So, you know, you look around and you figure, well, okay, I guess Jane and Sam are going to walk in the closet and get in the character. Well, I guess I'm up next. No one stands up and says, what is this closet nonsense? No, there's the magic closet. And you go in there. You figure if it's good enough for them, it's good enough for me. I'll get, you know, sure, will this help? Okay. We're desperate. We're intimidated. And everyone else in the room does it. How can so many people just keep succumbing to this nonsense that is actually counter to what their instincts are telling them? I'm sure many of you listening right now are thinking, you know, and I was there, and then I did the funny little dance too. I just thought, what are we doing this for? But everyone gets intimidated into it, you see. That's why I kind of feel like, you know, the best way is just to not have any nonsensory, nothing. No silly stuff. Not even a little. Not even, you know, my rendition of it. If it's silly and it's questionable, let's just leave it out. Let's just not do it. If it seems kind of hocus pocus. Let's just not do it. Let's just stick to the facts. I knew I wanted to do a podcast about this. So after class, I asked her to send me an email with any other rituals that she had been asked to do. And she sent over a list. And so let's see. She has, number one, do a mantra before you start the scene to get yourself in the right actor space. And she adds a couple of examples that she'd heard is, well, one is, it's time to fly. So you say, I guess, a mantra. So I just say, okay, it's time to fly, it's time to fly. It's time to fly, it's time to fly, it's time to fly, it's time to fly, it's time to fly. I wonder how long I do this before it's actually time to fly. I wonder how many, is there a, do I do 100 and then it's time to fly? Or is it time to fly on the first one? You see, this is where I'm confused, because if I say it's time to fly, and then I say it's time to fly, it's time to fly, it's time to fly, then really, when I said it the first time, it's time to fly, wasn't it time to fly? So then my question becomes, and see, here's where the confusion sets in for somebody as silly as me, and that is, when do I actually know when it's time to fly? I mean, if I've started saying it's time to fly, that implies it's time to fly. It's time to fly. That means usually when people say it's time to fly, that means, well, let's get on to the boarding gate. It's time to fly. Or buckle up. The plane takes off. It's time to fly. To have a mantra of it's time to fly, you see, I think messes with you. Because at the same time you're saying it's time to fly, you're negating that very statement by not flying. And this, in a very interesting way, as I'm thinking about it now, is kind of a perfect example of what I think is wrong with acting. You're told you need to do this other thing that has nothing to do with the thing. You're told you have to do this other thing in order to get to do the other thing. Yet this thing has nothing to do with the other thing. This is some conjuring. You go into a closet where it's dark and daydream. And then you get in the right space. And then you tap your partner. What if your partner is not quite ready? Time to fly. How do we synchronize this stuff? And won't you have interrupted my daydream while I'm in there daydreaming? Maybe I'm going back to Frisco that time on the hill. You know, and then doink, doink, doink. And then, I wasn't time to fly yet. You know, I'm not making this stuff up. This is actual nonsense. This is real. But wait, there's more. The third one is you pick a song for your character and listen to it right before starting your scene. And you allow yourself to move to the music in order to get the character into your body. See, so now we're using music to conjure the character, like some spirit, into my body, you see, and the music. So I guess I have, somebody else may be conjuring with a different sound, so I assume we all use earbuds. So I have earbuds on, and I have my little jam, and this jam I've picked out like some good, diligent, hardworking DJ. I've found the groove that my character would groove to and thereby allow itself to enter my body. You see, everyone in the industry has been made to believe, especially the young, and especially the people coming in, and I'm not discrediting their intellect, it's just that they're more malleable, you know? They're more easily tricked into this stuff because you're coming in, you know, with an open mind and you're doing an art. And then you have a serious person there, male or female, looks like they've been around a few years, and here's a school where other people have trod. And now, you know, they say, get in the closet, and you think, okay, that's what we do here. We get in the closets. And then because you're a competitive person, you want to make sure that you get in the closet right and you come out of the closet correctly, and that becomes your task. And then you just focus on that because you're a good person, not because you're ignorant. It's because this is what you've been told the deal is. But wait, there's more. You imagine your character standing in front of you and then ask them to enter your body. Also, this is important, let the character know that it is safe for them to move through you. Now, you see, I just wouldn't be good in this class because now I'm confused. Does a character enter my body or use me as some sort of tunnel? It's optional. You can either have the character enter you, or maybe the way you trick them into entering you is you say, hey, brother, other character I'm staring at that's not in front of me, but I'm pretending because they told me to here and I pay to be here. So let me look at you, sir, and say, hey, man, you want to pass through my body? Go for it, yo. I grant you safe passage. And then as soon as you walk through the first door, bang, it's locked behind you. Now you're stuck in my body. My character now is in me. And hopefully facing the right direction. Because if you were in front of me, and then I asked you to enter me, wouldn't you be... Okay, let's assume in this game that my character can spin around and basically... Yeah, because you'd have the wrong arm and the wrong arm. It'd be weird. So let's assume all these things. Now, you know, grown-ups engage in this. And I'm not saying this to make fun of the grown-ups that have and do and are maybe at this very moment. I'm not making fun of them. What I'm really trying to put a strong light on is how when I say this stuff, how silly it seems. It's so obviously silly. Come on now. I'm going to prove it to you, but yeah, come on. Even at first blush, this stuff is, come on, man. Really? Really? Okay. Well, the real point I want to make is why it is we actually do it, you see? And this is what needs to change in actors, you know? You don't need to do witchcraft. You don't need to go and practice black magic and sorcery and conjurings and, you know, getting music and then getting your character to, you know, rumba right into your body. You know, come on, man, really? Do you know how powerless this is? Now, this is what I want to get into. This is so completely powerless on your part. You would never, ever in real life entertain this kind of behavior for a moment. Why? Because it would impede your entire existence. You have to go do stuff before you do other stuff. So, hey, wait a second, Tom. Look, I got to go in my closet here. I'm going to daydream. I'll tap lightly when we can start. I mean, what do you see the power loss there? And then believe me when I tell you that once you start that process, it's not finite. It's not like some sort of device you set a timer, and then when the timer goes off, you are definitely ready to go. No, you've already accepted the notion that you can't get where you need to be on your own. I mean, I couldn't just ask you, hey, Bill, stand up, let's do the scene, and you do it. No, what you've accepted is that, no, brother, I got to go into a dark room, and I got to daydream, and I got to get in, and how do you know when you're ready? You just know. You just feel it. You just go, rawr, I am me, the other guy now. Wow, tap, 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 time to go. You just know that? No, you don't know that. What you do is you just finally decide you've been in the dark long enough. And then you decide to come out into the light because you're ready to go. And you realize deep down, you've done the shenanigan long enough, okay? You're not going to look like some horrible person in this tribe, in this class. So you'll come out of the closet now and squint a little bit at the bright light and get out there and do your part. But how is this getting your acting better? So you need to go daydream? Really? And you have such incredible control over your insides and your mind that you can walk into a dark closet and you can actually conjure the daydreaming to where you go back to whatever that deal was or whatever you think you need to stew in for a few moments. You can control this process so well. All you need is a darkened closet and that it'll come out bang and then you walk out and you do it. That's what you're doing. Well, here's my big question. If you have that much control over the way things go, 1, 2, 3, 4, I'm in the dark, now I daydream, now I act, why don't we just cut out all that stuff? Why don't you just go over there and act? I mean, you're the person who's so in control, you can conjure, you know, a sequence of events of made-up conjurings in your mind. How about you just conjure your way over to your mark, hit it, and let's start the scene? How about that? You can't do that? No, because there's magic involved. There's magic. It sure seems magical, I have to say. I think that's part of the seduction, you see, is that I feel then that I am some kind of acting, I don't know, animal, and you know, there's this preciousness of what I do, and I have to go and deep breathe, and then up, and my eyes roll back, focus, and I step in, and it's like, wow, it's that little, it's like watching a thing come out of its cocoon or something over there, or a snake shed its skin. That was amazing. Does all of this fantasy take the place of actually working? Because working is very, very fantasy-like, you know. It's so much fun, and geez, you know, no matter how much you do it, it's kind of hard not to marvel that you actually get to do that stuff. It certainly beats working for a living. Is that it? All of this seduction and romantic business of, I am an artist, now I must go into my cocoon, and I must listen to my music and ask my character to just rumba right into my body and then turn around, please. And then, whoa, here I am. It would seem to me then when it was over, you'd have to ask your character to leave. I mean, it would only be proper. So now I'm on my way home or I'm going to get changed. I still have my character in my body. Don't I have to like open a door or something? Or say, begone ye, begone ye, begone ye. Maybe that's the other mantra. Am I making fun of this too much? Oh, God, no. No, 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 no. Of course not. Of course not. Because I need you to see the ridiculousness of what I'm talking about. This stuff is dumb. It's so dumb. It's so dumb and counterproductive. You don't need to ask permission. Is that what you do in life? No, you don't. The reason why you're as powerful as you are in life is because at a moment's notice, you step off. You will do whatever. You don't need to prepare as long as you know the facts. If you know the facts of this relationship and the facts of that relationship and the facts of that relationship, and you know the history of the three because, you know, you were there, you know what the events were. Walking down the road, this person steps up, going through a room, that door opens, that person steps up. You immediately pivot and deal with it in the exact right color. You know exactly what to do. You do it. You pull the trigger. It's done. The business of acting and making movies and doing great work and making great plays can't be about this simple task of pulling the trigger and, you know, stepping up and doing your part. That can't be the magic of it. That can't be where it's all about, oh, look, you finally got to the point that you look real and you sound like you're talking. Oh my goodness, man, there's so much past that. There's so much in storytelling. There's so much in finding that right treble and bass that really, if we're working on something, that really makes the scene work. Just because something's authentic doesn't mean it's set up right. You know, we do this, we say, hey, try a little more of that, this, that. But it's never about, oh, and also let's try and everybody be real, okay? Oh, come on, man. That can't be the hat trick. That cannot be it. And you see, that's what all of this says. Think about it. I have to ask my character into my body, but whatever that was, safe passage, and then they can pass through me and then trick them. Because that's how I would do it. I mean, I don't know how else you do it. Because then I could be out there all day long. You know, hey, enter my body. I don't feel like it. You know, and then what? Now I'm stuck. I assume this, you know, ghost or whatever this is standing in front of me. My character, obviously, if I'm asking it to enter my body, it would seem to me, I mean, come on, let's be fair, that my character should be able to say, I don't feel like it, right? So now what? We have a dilemma here, you see, because I don't want to have that kind of relationship. I mean, either my character works for me or not, right? So how am I going to get things done if I always have to ask permission for my character to enter my body and take over, but now my character may not want to. Am I making this silly? Not silly enough. Not silly enough. This stuff is just stupid. This is such a con and hoodwink. You know, it's all of this mystical bullshit that people do in class that gets them thinking like they're doing something, but you see, the very thing they're having you do is the thing that's keeping you from doing the work you need to do, hence you're stuck in a cycle. You're like on one of them hamster wheels. Just wee-ka-dee-wee-dee-ka-wee-dee-wee-dee-wee-dee. That's what you do. That's what that is, you see, because this kind of nonsense will always kind of keep you off balance because you got so many things to think about. Case in point, the young lady who started my class. Once we lost the silly obligations, the stuff that put her in her head, going into the closet, all of the stuff that a lot of the time what it is just something as simple as it makes an actor feel self-conscious, uncomfortable. They feel like they're kind of faking some kind of ritual, and then that makes them get into their head because they feel phony and they kind of feel like an outsider, and now they got to go act, and everything just starts off wrong. We wipe that away and get down to brass tacks, and all I want to talk about is what is your character doing? What are you doing in this scene? What happened? Why are you angry at him? What did he do? Who is he? I just want to hear straight talk. And then I say, so this is okay. Well, then that's what's the problem. Let's go. And we just start dealing with things. We start addressing them in such a simple kind of straight ahead fashion like we do in life. This whole world that they've created where they've made you believe that you got to go through all this other stuff to get there is the machine that generates all of the tuition that pays for all of these places, but ultimately, it's not cost effective for the actor. Any kind of preparation you do, any kind of mantra, any kind of moment, any kind of relaxation, any kind of silly exercise that has been constructed in some silly, you know, acting school where, you know, we do some little thing before we do it, will always set up a dynamic which is you're not capable of doing this on your own. You need to do this other stuff. And since this other stuff is not finite, like how many times do I say it's time to fly? Then how do I know? Because I just feel it, because I've said it so long that I'm bored saying it, and now let's just get on with it. Well, can't we just get on with it immediately? Do we really got to go through this? There is no time for this stuff. I've said it so many times. If you set yourself up for something, some ritual, I guarantee you, if you're lucky enough to work, that ritual will be taken from you right before you act. They'll suddenly realize they have to flip a scene, or it's going to rain, or somebody's late, so they have to do the other thing. And suddenly, you don't get to do all this stuff. They drag you right out of the closet. You're getting ready to walk in the closet. They grab your arm and say, look, it's no time. We got to go right now. Now, you have set yourself up because you believe you have to go through a whatever step process. And I say to all that bullshit, don't ever, ever tell yourself that as an artist. You are good to go. That's how I train in my classes. And I know people remark on it because they come from other places where, you know, right before you go out with your partner and you run lines in the hallway. And oh, come on. Who does that stuff? That's not how it works on sets. I mean, can it? Yeah, sure. Is it maybe? Yeah, maybe right now somewhere they're running lines right before they go on. But that's not normal. I mean, it happens. But generally, you're sitting there. They come, they say, let's go. Bang, you go on and you do it. You get up, you sit up, you get out of the high chair you're sitting in, they go ready for you, you walk over there, you hit your marks, and you start doing your stuff. Now. And you don't know when now is, you see, especially when you're working professionally. So what are you going to do? Just, I'll be in my closet, come get me when you're ready, I'll be daydreaming, and then 4 hours later, you know, I mean, come on. Get your mind on what's going on in the scene. Forget all of this fake nonsense that you've been hoodwinked into believing is the magic sauce that, you know, you do with your acting and then va-va-voom. Come on, man. I need you to step up and tell me what's going on and argue with me about whatever. Make your point about the other thing and then get off the stage. That's it. That's what it is. And when you attack it that way, man, you are good in all weather. You're always ready to go. You're always ready. And if any of you are thinking, well, no, this you see, this is how we train. And then once the actor has, you know, gotten to that point, this stuff they don't even do. They don't even need to go in the closet anymore. They just walk past the closet and then oh, shut up. Just shut up. Come on. Really? You know, and finally, what I'll always say, I'm sorry, but it has to be said. Who are these people teaching this class? When was the last time they worked professionally? When was the last time these people did that? Look it up. Look it up. I'm sorry. I'm only going to get tougher and tougher with these podcasts because this stuff's just got, it's just robbing people of their money, and it's giving them, you can't even say nothing in return. What it's giving them is hindrance. It's giving them hindrance in return. That's what it's doing. A word to the wise. If you're ever in one of these classes, if you're ever in one of these situations, and you're being asked to do something for preparation or as part of the acting exercise or whatever that you feel is just silly or nonsense or, you know, like some kind of magic, go with your intuition. Because, you know, we're all smart people and we go into the world every day and we don't allow ourselves to be hoodwinked or conned. We avoid it as much as possible. Don't allow it to be open season when you walk into some acting class and they're doing a bunch of silly shit. If you think it's silly, just stop. I mean, you know, maybe you don't walk out of the class immediately, but on reflection, you know, on your way home, wonder about it. Because I promise you, having been a person who has been in the industry his whole life, this stuff is nonsense. You don't need it. And it's only going to rob you of your power. You can do whatever you want. Once you know the details of a scene, you can get in, you can do the work. You don't need to walk into closets or ask your character to enter your body or trick them by telling them they can pass through. How do you know when your character's passed through your body? That's what I wonder. Does it just feel like wind? Or is it like, hurry up, ow, Thanks for listening. You have been listening to a Real Life Actor podcast. This is Jeff Seymour. Please remember to follow us on Podomatic or subscribe on iTunes. If you want to know anything else about the Real Life Actor approach, you can always go to reallifeactor.com. Thanks for listening.